Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Father's Day out there. I hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Was able to celebrate with the fam. Today on 225, Drake starts us off hot. We get into some discussion about the Shield situation, and then we talk about Coach Parker and why he is such a great coach. We always talk about the fact that he is, but what makes him that way? Some discussion about fall camp and some other things. It's a good one. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 225, being recorded on this beautiful Father's Day. I'd like to take a moment to wish all of the Hawkeye fans out there who are good fathers a happy Father's Day. I'd especially like to wish Coach Kirk Ferentz a happy Father's Day, and hopefully he's getting good gifts from his little bitch-ass kids like Rob Ho. Been out here sunning these fools since 1999. And I hope these little boys treat their father with respect on this Father's Day. That's my intro for today. I wanted to take a pot shot at all you frauds, and welcome back.
Kevin's face. Today was one of those days where, like, usually we get on here and there's like a 2 or 3 minute period. Sometimes one or the other it takes another 5 minutes for somebody to set up and get on. So we're sitting here talking, we have conversation. We talk about a couple of the things that we're going to bring up in the podcast today. We said zero words to each other, other than Drake popped in quick and said, just wait for the joke that I use in the intro. And then that was it. We just hit record, and this is the first time we're talking to each other today. So that was
chose violence today.
He woke up and chose violence.
Listen, dude.
Feeling dangerous, I guess.
Listen, Father's Day is not a good day for me. I wake up on Father's Day, I'm not happy. I fucking hate this shit. And I had to find a way to bring joy to my own day. And talking shit about Rob Ho's bitch ass was an easy way to bring joy to myself.
Okay. Fair enough. And that is for all of the Drake lovers out there. And there's a lot of big Drake fans. Not Drizzy Drake, but the Drake from the 563. Hopefully that was sufficient for those fans out there, that intro. Kevin, you're wearing a shirt. Would you like to talk about it? Would you like to talk about your weekend?
Yeah, sure. So Friday night, I had finished up work and didn't have much food in the house. So I'm thinking, you know, what local establishment in Iowa City should I take my patronage to? And, well, none other than the good old Gray's Gourmet to Go to get me some chicken lips. And so, you know, I wasn't that hungry, but I needed something. So I just ordered 4 chicken lips, you know, just a little something.
4 is a snack, and 8's a meal.
Yeah, yeah. I walk in there, and Pete and Kim Harmon standing right there welcoming me. And they're like, you know, Pete's like slapping me on the back. Kim gives me a big old hug. And they're like just all excited to show me their new place. So they got a new place. For those people that don't know, they used to be in the Ped Mall across from Brothers. That whole strip's getting torn down and rebuilt. So now they're like a half mile away, like on the Dubuque Street or something.
They're on the backside of that new hotel. The newer hotel, right? Or is that temporary? I saw them Like, I saw them, like, on the backside. Maybe that was a temporary spot. It's on Dubuque Street, so I think it's the same thing. But, yeah.
Oh, that hotel's not new, dude.
It's newer.
The one that views on?
It's, like, what, a few years old?
That feels pretty new, Kev. I would still consider
5 years old, dude. But whatever.
I call it a newer hotel.
Yeah, whatever.
Fair. It's been a while. We're a little washed,
I guess. It is the name of the podcast.
But yeah, he's showing me the whole thing. You know, they love it. They're having a good time there. They're just starting to open up for takeout again. And, you know, he's like, oh, we got to get you a shirt. We got to get you a shirt. So that's why I got a Lips Rule shirt from the good old people at Gray's.
It's a hell of a shirt. It's a hell of a shirt. It's good little advertising there.
Hey, you know what? So it was a to-go order and I did it online. So like my name's on there.
Right.
And bag, so they obviously knew it was me.
Right.
There were some treats in there that I didn't order.
Of course. Of course there were.
Because they're just great people like that.
No, those two are, we really should find a way to have them on the podcast or do a podcast from Gray or something. Like, I don't know. But just the fact that those two people are, I mean, those are the kind of humans that you want on the earth, right?
Oh, no. Pete, I think would be a great guest. And Kim too, because they can talk about all that goes into feeding a D1 program.
I think it would be interesting to kind of get the behind the scenes of that. And then not only that, but they also know every single player. There's probably stories that they have like from within the complex on a day-to-day basis.
I think my favorite thing about them is, you know, and Kim told us this when me and Drake had dinner at their place, is that when they first started catering to us, is that she would study the entire roster and faces and names.
Really?
And they had everybody's name down after a week. I'm like, I've seen this person like twice before in my life. And they're like, oh, hey, Kevin, how are you doing today? I'm like, hi.
So that actually makes a lot of sense because I was confused when they would call me by name. Mm-hmm. And like, I had never talked to them before. And I don't think people just know the long snapper, right? Like there wasn't, you know, so I was like, wow, these people are fucking something else, huh?
Yeah, no, just great people. I'm happy. They're happy with their new setup. I am going to miss that they're not doing the in-person dining anymore, but
yeah. There was another large individual that you saw there as well.
The largest individual in Iowa City at the time, probably.
Yeah, good chance.
Over some of them big old milk and cheese corn fed bastards.
Over some, this dude will take those milk and cheese corn fed bastards and put them in through a ringer. So I'm getting my order, and then Kim's showing me, look who else is coming in, and I look at the name on the bag is Tristan Wirfs. And then literally 2 minutes later, big old Tristan walks in with a big old smile on his face. Just like the happiest dude you ever meet.
Just a kid, man. He's just, he's a kid.
Yeah, dude. He's massive right now.
He's so big.
He's gained 30 pounds since college. And he says he feels great. I've been around big people my entire life.
So what does he weigh? 340?
Yeah. I've been around... My brothers are 6'6 and 6'7, okay? They were off Big Ten offensive linemen. My dad was a Big Ten offensive lineman. I hang around Ike for 5 years of college. But when you hang around people that big all the time and someone walks in and you're like, oh, my God, you're huge. Like, you're just a massive human being.
It's different, man. It's different. Yeah. Shout out to happy Father's Day to B. Ford, by the way, as well. Just a legendary father.
To be honest, there's a lot of people's lives who would be negatively impacted if Beef War decided not to reproduce.
The world would be different for sure. I mean, I don't know if this podcast would be a thing or Beef is a productive human, you know, and he's done a lot for the world. So shout out to Pete and Kim. We're going to have you on the podcast eventually, but in the meantime, they're going to be just producing chicken lips like it's their job because it is their job. And how were the lips, by the way, Kevin? How was dinner?
Fire as always. Come on now.
Oh. the chicken lips. Oh, I haven't had them in so long.
I hadn't either because they'd been closed since they're like there's a little bit of gap period between when their old place closed and this new place opened. So
how many lips do you think Tristan Wirfs could eat in one sitting?
Well, it might have peaked in his bag and he had the 12. I don't know if he was sharing them, but he had the 12 piece order.
I doubt it. I doubt he was sharing them. If we got Super Bowl champ at 20 years old, 330, 340 pounds. I think my guy was eating all 12 lips himself.
It's possible. You know what I also got to say is I think Gray's might have the best ranch in town.
Best ranch? Okay. That's a serious
big news to part of this podcast.
That's a serious conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what.
I have an update on the Shields Hawks by a Million.
This is going to be good.
We own Shields yet?
We don't own Shields yet, unfortunately.
Although does this guy want to fist fight?
I don't think he wants any of the smoke.
Okay, so then his options are real thin. If we don't own any stock and he doesn't want to fist fight, his fucking options are dwindling.
Yep.
I want a TaylorMade Sim 3-wood.
Okay.
And I'll dismiss my
yeah, you're good with one golf good. Glove. That's all you need.
That's really all I want.
Drake, Kev's going to sell us out for one club.
The kid makes $150K a year, and he's selling us down the road for a $250 three-wood.
Like, I'll take a new putter, and you're good. You know.
Hey, I'm a simple man, okay?
Oh, dude, speaking of golf, before we get to this fucking Patreon deal, I played more golf this weekend than I ever have in my life, dude.
Oh, yeah?
We played a little family scramble with Lauren's family. We went up there for Father's Day. Saw both of our families, which was nice. Played 9 holes on Friday night. And then yesterday, we were partially there because Lauren had a bridal shower to go to for a friend from high school. Her and her mom went to that. So then me and her dad actually went out and played another 12 holes. So that's 21 holes of golf.
Wait, why 12?
It's at the club. So they just hop on, play whatever they want. Really. Like it's not, you don't have to pay.
Dusk right hit Kev.
Yeah. No. The 12 was during the middle of the day. We played like,
oh, 10, no dusk,
10:30 to 12:30 or 12:45. And then the girls were going to be home. We were going to do lunch. So played 12, 21 holes of golf is a lot for Kluve. It's just a lot of golf. That's a lot.
How are you going to do this, this week?
Not good. I'm trash. I can't hit a driver, consistently to save my life. If I do hit it clean, there's a pretty good chance it's slicing heavy and, putting game has somehow gotten worse. I used to be decent at putting. I got to play a little bit more mini golf, I guess.
Dude, I haven't played since Gervais's bachelor party, so I gotta find the range a couple times before Wednesday.
Yeah, but yeah, that was a lot of golf. Anyway, Shields update. So, brought the smoke early. Okay, reached out, said, you know, if we have to take legal action will be taken. I'm not fucking around here, and they made it very clear. I think this guy got maybe a little bit. He wanted to put it out there in front and he's like, hey, we didn't, this is not our product. Like we buy from vendors. Like we'd love to work with, like, I have the email right here. He says, as far as the Hawks by a Million flags go, I want to be very upfront that we have 100% not done anything outside of our normal business practices. he's like, whoa, come on, guy. Don't bring the heat on me.
Which is great, but if you're not vetting your vendors, then you're still using poor business practices.
Right. He said a vendor partner of ours who makes flags had to have got the approval from the U of I, which obviously I guess the U of I doesn't give a shit who.
Well, yeah, we already met that one scumbag from the U of I.
Yeah, who Dale clearly doesn't care.
Calling us little bears in the honey pot. Hey, Dale, you can scoop honey right out of my ass, pal. That's how I feel about you.
Pooh Bear Dale. It's Pooh Bear Dale.
Right? Why is there honey up your ass?
Yeah.
Actually, because this would be a perfect opportunity to pull out my peanut butter and honey. God damn it. I had it. I don't know what to tell you guys.
What the fuck?
Anyway, Shields doesn't make our own products. Rather, we order from vendors whose responsibility is to work with the U of I. I'm more than happy to discuss this further on the next steps or possibly partnering with your company for future sales of Hawks by a Million. So I just gotta, now I have to, I mean, I don't know how open he is going to be to giving me the vendor's name, but I mean, he should be.
Shields, you're off the hook. Shields got himself off the hook.
Yeah. So once I get this vendor's specific name, so we can reach out to them directly.
And then have them buy like 1,000 Hawks by a Million t-shirts.
Yeah. And then evidently this guy, he's like, cool. Yeah. If you want to work together, we'll sell your shit in Shields. So
Shields, I take back all the smoke that I was talking on the prior episode. We left everything open to the potential that you guys were doing the right thing. And in this case, looks like you're doing the right thing. You should have vetted your vendor a lot better. That's a bit of a slap on the hand.
But also, how would they know, though? Like, you kind of, you know, like.
I guess.
You know, like, if this guy doesn't know who we are, which not everyone knows who we are.
Well, of course not. But I feel like you got to do, I don't know. Whoever approved it should have done a better. I
mean, it's Pooh Bear Dale's fault here. I mean, he should have been like, hey, isn't this somebody else's design when the person came through and was like, hey, we want to sell these.
He don't give a shit.
He sure seemed to give a shit when we wanted to sell it in the first place. Fucking Pooh Bear Dale. Scooping honey. Anyway, so maybe we'll be in Shields. Maybe the actual Washed Up Walk-Ons licensed merchandise will, the real shit will be in Shields near you soon. And thank you to the Walk-On Army, who is just vigilant as ever. When we asked for confirmation, I think fucking 15 of you guys got off the couch immediately and just said, well,
like the next day, like, yeah,
we're going to Shields to figure this out.
We have kings that dress themselves in black and gold and put this podcast on their speakers.
I thought we might have seen, I thought there was the potential that there was going to be some confrontation at Shields because of the Walk-On Army.
I already went and bought propane. So I'm glad that I don't have to pull out my huge propane torches.
Yeah. So speaking of the Walk-On Army, thank you guys so much for those that are part of the actual Walk-On Army who are on Patreon. You guys, you know, this whole thing, the Shields bit, this is all because we want that money going to where we, you know, kind of intended it to go to when we decided to sell this merchandise, which is UI Children's Hospital. Because of the Patreon subscriptions, the generous people of the black and gold community, you guys are contributing to that on a monthly basis, and you're getting a little extra Hawkeye content. Some of you have been enjoying the roster series that I've been doing this off season. We're almost through the entire roster, by the way, which means that we're going to be coming up on, well, one, it means football season's quickly approaching, but two, I've saved the incoming class, people like Arlen Bruce, Keegan Johnson, those receivers, a couple other exciting new freshmen that we have. I'll be breaking down them in the coming weeks. So you get that extra little podcast each week. It usually runs 15 to 25 minutes. We talk about those guys, their potential, and it's a good time. As well as we get closer to the season,
we got to do another fan episode. That was a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that too. We will hopefully have another Wash Up Walk-Ons exclusive piece in the merch that we have coming. So you'll have access to that if you subscribe through our Patreon. And there's going to be new stuff during the season. Remember, during the season, post-game, there'll be a podcast where I and or Drake or Kevin, if they're at all available, but at least me, I will get on and we'll give a little 10-minute like post-game pod before we actually go into the full podcast the Monday following. And hopefully there's a couple other new things as well. Maybe some like picture content that we can share. I'll be doing a post-game radio show this year. So there's a bunch of other stuff happening. So
you're gonna be putting out ass pics for these people, some OnlyFans content.
Yeah, it's the Wash Up Walk-Ons OnlyFans page, and you can get, you know, Hawkeye related, you know, exclusive content. If you want to sign up, go to patreon.com/washedupwalkons and you can subscribe annually and get 2 free months. So you pay for 10 months and you get the full year and then you get all that shit, the extra wash up walk-ons only, or the
walk-on. Right now, all I'm picturing is Adam Sandler in The Longest Yard when he goes into the secretary's office and gets down into his underwear and lets her spank him with the cowboy hat. That's Kluver's going to get Mander's Hawkeye cowboy hat, get down in a pair of skivvies, and he's going to start dancing for these people on our OnlyFans account.
You know, I'm not opposed to it. I'll do whatever I have to do for the brand. So, I said I would go to Abu Dhabi to find Bob Sanders. I will also, you know, install a stripper pole in my garage gym, and, you know, I'll wear Mander's wrestling thong and do some dances as well. So, allegedly. Another big update, which no one cares about except for you two and maybe the rest of the Benton chat. As we know, I'm balding at an alarming rate. It's not
good. You shaving your head?
And this may not be what you
guys... You didn't use for keeps or for hymns or whatever back in 2013 when we told you you were going bald. Now it's 2021 and it fucking... snowballs are down the hill.
Yeah, it's down the hill. I probably could try and use one of those things, but this weekend there's a calling for me with every day to go for it. And although I have not made the 100% leap, there has been significant headway made in my mental readiness to shave my head. And so I wanted to update you guys on that because it may be coming soon. My next haircut, we're going to go real short, like a 2 or a 3, and just kind of maybe start to get used to not having a whole lot of hair in general, just like a little
nice. I mean, that's what you used to have back in the day.
Way back. I used to do 2. You're
a buzz cut guy.
Yeah. So we're going to go back to that, I think, and just kind of keep it there. And then eventually just one day it's going to be gone. And, hopefully I don't look like an asshole. I mean, immediately I am going to, because it's just so different, but
luckily you can grow a beard. So, I mean, anyone that can grow a beard can genuinely pull off being bald.
Well, the one thing I'm hanging on to is this: when I lost all that weight and I became CrossFit Cowboy on Instagram, B Ross, who doesn't usually hold back, he's not a bullshitter. He said, dude, if you would just shave your head now, you would look elite all over the place. Like, you would look great, but you continue to try and hang on to your hair. And so your body's great, but now your head looks like a fucking chia pet.
And it's true. You can't make fun of a bald guy with good muscles, because right, you just look back at the person and you say, yeah, but you're a sloppy bastard,
right,
who just got blessed by your parents with good hair. I work hard and just so happen to have to wear a baldy up top. Like, yeah. At least you can see my abs, you fucking Cheeto licker.
Yeah, it's the Cheeto fingered top 25 guy. That's what I continue to fall back on too. Like, we know a lot of bald guys. I mean, damn near every strength coach we ever had, except for Cody Myers, was bald. And he had great hair, actually.
Literally, except for Cody.
Yeah, and he had great hair. He balanced out everybody else. Joel, DeMarco, fucking Mark, when he went bald, they all look, you look at these guys and you're like, they don't look bad. Like, bald doesn't look bad. And so I just keep falling back on, well, maybe I'll look all right, because.
Oh, I got to make a quick comment. Sometimes when we'd be watching film and Coach Parker, like, would like to point out, like, if someone was like hurt, he's like, you know, it's a good thing that you're on the field today. Like, someone just got back from being hurt. And then he'd like point on the film, look at the strength coaches. You don't need to hang out the bald head and beard club anymore.
The bald headed beard club. And you can see him in the corner with the bikes, dude, just putting people through 20 seconds on, 20 seconds off. I actually don't even know what the workouts were over there. What, you guys both had to ride the bike at some point? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What was the workout that they put those guys, like, put the injured guys through? Was it like you had to hold watts or something?
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed Assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
So it depends. It depends what your injury was. If you're there for a week, if you're there for several months, like I was at one point and Drake was at some point. Sometimes it's just the life cycle bike. It's just a normal bike and you ride it for, you know, 24 minutes. But if you're there for 3 months, it gets worked up to like 38 minutes and you got to keep it above 90 RPMs,
oof,
which sucks when the resistance gets really high. Honestly, some of the worst workouts I've ever done around the bike.
They're bad. Drake.
Almost all of my worst memories from Iowa football either involve 9-on-7 or lifestyle bikes. So there's that.
And then there was also the assault bike too. So if you had like a lower back injury, they'd, you know, put you on the assault bike for like 2x6, 10 cals. Per minute type thing. Oof.
Yeah, that's tough. Now I have one of those in my basement, and you never win. You just never win against it. It's bad. It's bad news bears. Speaking of Coach Barker, we did that. We took questions last week or last episode, and we didn't get to this one. Someone asked how, you know, we always talk about Coach Barker and like he is what makes the defense so great. I think one of the answers was like, other than Coach Barker, why is our defense so good? Kevin, you probably are most equipped to answer this one. This question was, we hear about why, about how great of a coach Barker is. What makes him so great as a coach?
He is the most detail oriented coach I've ever met. Like, he will coach your alignment down to half a step. He will go through the entire play and say, you know, where he lost his play is on your, it was on your first step. Your first step, you stepped in the, his quote is step in the bucket. He's just extremely detail oriented to get each and every player that's on the field to their absolute ceiling of potential.
Okay.
And in addition to that, he just hammers on his guys being super disciplined within the scheme of the defense, because that's what we are. We have our rules, and if we go outside of our rules, that's when mistakes happen and that's when we give up big plays. If we play by our rules, we generally don't give up big plays, and it's really tough to just march down the field 3-4 yards at a time. It happens every now and then, but it's very, very difficult to do. So Coach Barker actually, you know, got into the stats and said, if we give up less than 2 big plays a game, so like plays of 20 yards or more, that we are going to win the game 90-95% of the time.
Yeah. He just,
so it's just, it's not a very satisfying answer, but he's just extremely detail oriented and gets his guys playing to the scheme to perfection.
So it sounds like it's, and this is interesting to me because I wasn't, you know, and you'll never, for anyone listening, you'll probably never get that full answer unless you're playing for him, because it's, you just got to be in the room. It's one of those things. It sounds like, Kev, that when he's coaching film, you know, you guys are watching stuff back and he's critiquing and he's saying, hey, here's how we make this better. He is able to go a little bit further into detail and maybe even all the way back to before the ball is snapped, better than most coaches, to show the step by step how it could have been better. And I imagine,
yeah, I mean, maybe something that you could, cause you're in the punt meetings, is like when we first started installing our shield punt,
mm-hmm,
and Wallace was like anal about the core guy's like step pattern.
Yep.
It's like that.
Okay. Like, yeah. Now step by step. The other thing that I witnessed from the outside of the room was it seemed to me like, and not that the other coaches in the building weren't great at this too, because to be a Division I coach, you kind of have to be. It seemed to me that Coach Parker was really, really good at connecting with young players, like the freshmen. Like for some reason, he was able to get through to them, and the development process reflected that. Like the young DBs seemed to come along because for some reason, Coach Parker could just get things through their head.
I'll say this. Coach Parker can be a difficult coach to play for because he expects so much out of you.
Yeah.
But he's just a real dude, you know? Like, yeah, he's been there. He played in the Big Ten. He was a three-time All Big Ten safety back in the day.
That actually, I want to watch games of him. Like,
I've watched a little bit of film.
Is there film? I want to see film of Coach Parker.
I've seen some film of Phil playing back in the day.
I want to come see him lay the fucking wood on somebody.
Was he slow?
Not really, no.
No, he could move? Because the only thing I've ever seen of Phil was him hobbling around looking like he needed a cane.
Yeah. He beat his body up a little bit, you know? He lived his life. Knees
and his hips were not good. We used to talk about it in the training room all the time. He'd be on the elliptical and I'd be over there doing whatever I was doing. And he'd start shit talking me about how much of a broken down, worthless hunk of shit I was. Yep. And I was like, well, I mean, look at you walk. He's like, I already did my fucking time.
You guys had a special relationship.
Very. And I think that I can speak to Phil from a different perspective than other people, because he didn't have to coach me. And like, I was just super terrified of Phil. And then all of a sudden he wasn't my coach anymore and we could form a better relationship. And like, so with him never coaching me, I had more of like a friendship vibe with him. The thing that I think I saw from him was that he got his players to buy into the crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you exactly. have to be a little bit crazy to play defense for Phil, but he actually got all the guys to buy into it to the point where it was no longer his desire for them to be crazy. They desired to play like Phil,
yes,
to impress Phil. And so he breeds savages through his own mentality. So that's what I thought made him a great.
That's 100% correct. It's, some guys don't like, you know, like, obviously there's guys that transfer leave, but the guys who like get to understand Phil and what he's all about and his mindset. And once they understand what he's looking for and what he's all about, it's like, hell yeah, I'll go to war for this guy.
Listening to defensive players that we play with, Josie, Josh Jackson, Desmond, all the best. They all, you ask any of those guys and they will tell you Phil's my guy. Like,
because Phil's got you.
Phil's
always going to be in your corner.
Phil would wear the shirt from last episode that says, I'm always going to talk shit and I'm always going to back my guys.
Oh, Phil loved talking.
He would love that shirt, man. And
I think my favorite thing, one of the things I miss the most is the competition between the offensive and defensive coaches.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because
those dudes loved compete. Like when we started doing those compete sessions in camp, Drake, remember?
Those were the only thing. So like I struggled in camp. Dude. My mentality struggled in camp. Like at the start, I was okay because the body didn't hurt so bad. The time hadn't worn on so long. But like by the end of camp, when we were doing those team periods and they never felt like they were going to end because coach always had an extra period to put on because there was no school. There was no Kara hours. We were in class or we were in camp and we were going to get our periods done. But then when they started adding the scoreboard, it was like, okay, this is no longer as miserable. Like now I'm ready to get to this compete period. And whether it's 5 or 8 reps or whatever it is, this is way better than what it would have been if there was no scoreboard.
And you got the whole sidelines jaw jacking
it. Amped. Yeah.
I remember when the scoreboard came out, it got fucking intense.
Yeah. I remember one time though, the defense absolutely kicked the shit out of the offense one day. I think Wallace was telling me, this is like, you know, honestly, it was one of those type of days those fuckers won't even look at you in the office.
Dude, I remember because Brian Ferentz loved to get in on that coaching competition as well. And when,
oh, of course, yeah.
And when the defense started to cheat because they knew the plays a little bit and it started to get real bad, Brian would be like,
No. For the competitive, so there's scripted periods where offense runs set play versus defense set defense.
Yeah.
Those compete periods, and there's also unscripted team periods as well. But those were, I think you were given like the down distance situation, whatever. And you were given the defense was given the other team's personnel, and that's it.
Right.
It's just like a place. Like you see, okay, other team's running in 11 personnel, it's 3rd and 4. Okay, call your play. Yeah. So you have your play call set, but you don't know what the other team's running.
I just remember not so much cheating in the period, but he would bring it up like, well, the fucking defense has been cheating all day. It's about time they fucking did something or something. I don't know. It was so fun to listen to those guys go back and forth. Like,
hey, maybe don't run 23B on the first 9-on-7 play. I don't know. Maybe mix it up, Brian.
Maybe run 23B every play.
And you know what's funny is that our senior year was the first time that he started to switch it up. And it is in direct correlation to the look in me and Brady Ross's eyes that he had to deal with every day in meetings. And he realized what those play calls were actually doing to real human beings.
He felt sorry. The look of Iowa football's.
I heard one time it was before I was a linebacker, so I wasn't there, but like, it was common knowledge that the first play call of 9-on-7 was always 23B. It was always 100% of the time. And then one time during camp of like maybe 2015, it wasn't. And they ran like outside zone the other way. And the play side defensive end got reached by the center.
Oh God, that's not good. man. Drake, you mentioned camp and your mentality and how it just like wasn't built, but early on in camp, the body hadn't started to hurt yet. For both of you guys who camp actually took a toll on both mentally and physically, what day of camp, when did that hit? How long did it take?
Oof.
So for those listening, our first year of camp, we had a 23-day camp, and Kevin's going to throw up that I even mention it. The next year, I believe it was 21 or 22 days. Mm-hmm. Then in 2015. But
the next year was better because only 14 of those days were in the hotel.
Correct. And then camp's gotten gradually softer and softer, I feel like, as time has gone on.
Right. And by our senior year, it's 2 weeks.
It was 2 weeks, like 14 days.
Doubles plus, yeah, it was.
No two a days. Like it now, it's like crazy that we had that 23-day camp. I mean, it was nuts. So
honestly, I don't know if I would survive it right now.
Oh, you? I don't think so. I doubt it.
I know my neck wouldn't survive it. I'd be on a spine board before the first week was over.
But to answer your question, Clue, when did it start to feel like really start dragging? I would say once the pads came on, so like your first few practices are just in shells. Yeah. But
so maybe like day five?
Some fully padded practices, then you're like, okay, we're in the shit now.
Okay. Because I know, Kev, for you mentally, after the first year, you were already taxed day one because it was like the PTSD of camp had already put you in a mental space that was like, I don't want to be here. Physically, you could hold out a little bit longer. For me, it was always just about, could we get back to the Marriott and are they serving those little chocolate cakes? And that's all I cared about. Those things were so
good. This is why you were treated the way you were.
And I took it and
you were good. You're good about it. Not all specialists were, but
amen.
There was one day. It was either in 2014 or 2015. And you remember when we had to, every once in a while, we had to make that extremely long walk to the other end to eat like a meal in that weird, super open space, that cold concrete open space.
Yeah. It was like an event center. Yeah.
Yes, we walked, We were walking down there one day, and it was like day six maybe. And I was 100% convinced that my neck was broken. And like, I was in the most pain I could ever imagine, splitting headache. It's the morning, looking down the gun barrel of practice and just another day at camp. And I'm like, I'm not making it through today. There's no way. Like, it only took about 5 or 6 days for me to start thinking that I can't even make it through another 24 hour period.
That's,
yeah, dude, waking up at 6 a.m. to walk a half a mile to breakfast, to get on the,
to eat a dog shit breakfast by the Marriott, because the Marriott in downtown Coralville serves the worst food outside of prisons in the state of Iowa.
I think there may be a little bit of confirmation bias with just being in the camp situation there. I will say their eggs were trash. I mean, they had the most fake eggs you could ever have. Some of the other stuff was okay.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. But yeah, to wake up at 6 a.m., walk a half mile, to eat a subpar breakfast, to get on the injured bus to go to the complex at 6:15 to get your rehab in. And then you have to sit through special teams meetings and position meetings, then a team meeting. Then you go out to practice and it's hot as balls out. You literally walk into the indoor, you're already drenched in sweat.
Can't breathe.
And then special teams walkthrough, which is never a walkthrough. Why is it never even a walkthrough? And then stretch. I hated so, stretch.
So true.
I hated stretch so much. I don't know why stretch sucked.
I want to take an average human. You're just your everyday human. Through a camp 2-a-day.
No, take your average human. You went too far there. Take your average human and put them through a Wednesday period prior to the first offense and defensive period. You just take them through a Wednesday practice. They got to do all four special teams. They got to do warm up. They got to do walkthrough, and then they can stop once tackle circuit starts.
And I know how bad that is.
No. Tackle circuit does not stop.
So, I want to take an average human and I want to take him through punt walk as the right guard. I want to take him through punt walk. I want to take him through stretch, punt period, and tackle circuit. Just those four things, and see if they are still able to breathe after that.
See, the thing that sucked for me is that like position individual for us is like very, very high tempo, like especially like when we're DBs, like we're backpedaling, sprinting, coming out of cuts and all that. It's like tiring. I didn't get a break until the first break, which was like a half hour into practice.
Right.
Like no. it was like track practice, you know, because special teams is like, okay, punt the ball and go run after it.
Special teams is conditioning. That's what it is. Yeah.
No, dude, it honestly, it felt like track practice at times. For like the first half hour of practice.
When we would finish tackle circuit, which was when I was officially done with that intro part of practice, I would walk off the field coughing, catch my breath. I'm dripping sweat. And all I could think of was, oh, thank God I don't play another position because they're all going to Indy right now.
Dude. And then they had my fat ass over there doing running back drills when they knew damn well they weren't ever going to hand me the ball.
Gave you the ball three times and you're doing running back drills every
day. God, 15 minutes full of jump cuts and bag drills and my fat ass is over there in a heap.
Not good.
Now, I have to say I'm thankful for one thing, and it's this, that we didn't get the turf practice field until our senior year.
Hot,
dude. There's one day like we're practicing in the middle of the fucking day because – we're psychopaths.
Because like Fed scheduled a practice.
and we've gotten to individual, and I'm like literally doing like the hot, spraying my feet down. Like I can't just stand
in cleats,
flat footed, because my feet are burning.
Yeah, it was bad, especially that first year, because it takes like a decent amount of time for that rubber to settle in. Like it probably wasn't fully settled until after our first
year. No, there's no way, because it got put in, we'd conditioned it on that year.
It was like,
are you sure, Kevin, that you don't have it a year? You're a year late? Because I thought I remembered that day that we ran all them 60-yard shovels and almost died. I thought that was on the turf, but was it not?
We ran some on that turf. All I remember is how fucking dumb was it that all of the semis had to go and fit on one field. hey, I'm trying to make a turn and my head is up George Kittle's asshole. All right. What am I doing? I make a turn and I put my head into someone's lower back. I can't, this doesn't work. Okay. That was bad news. At the end of a camp day, did you guys feel any excitement at all for the fact that we got a snack and we got to go back to the Marriott and sleep? Or was it more so just, I just want to kill myself and I have to do this all over again. I'm not excited whatsoever that today is done.
It's, I mean, it's like, okay, got through another day. You enjoy your snack and your 20 minutes of peace before bed. And that was what you looked forward to that day. That was the highlight of your day.
Okay.
It was blissful serenity for all of 90 minutes until the coach came and checked your room. And mentally, you just realized that it's over. And as soon as you wake up, you got to do it again.
You're sitting in bed and like your body is like throbbing with every heartbeat.
For a specialist, it was different.
You know what I actually hated the worst about doubles is that there's like that big break in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Where you're supposed to go back and eat lunch and nap at the hotel.
Right.
It actually felt like 2 days. It actually felt like two full calendar days.
It did. I will say though.
Because you fall asleep like that.
Hard.
But then you wake up again and you feel like it's 5 a.m. again. I got to schlep myself back to the complex for rehab, treatment, eat. Meetings, practice again, meetings. Okay, now I can go home again. Like that's a full day that we just, that's an afternoon.
Yeah, but when we find out that on the practice schedule, there's no 9-on-7 on the second practice, it feels like I just got a free voucher to Sean Watson's rub and tug. Like it's the happiest feeling of all time when you don't got to go through 2 9-on-7s in a day and that it takes an extra practice out of the way.
I will say this. I relate to that heavy because when there was something during the summer or during camp that happened unexpectedly, hey, we don't have this period today. Hey, practice is 7 minutes shorter. Oh shit. 7 minutes. We get to take 7 minutes off of practice. Light it up, baby. Let's go. The day
we find out that 3 minutes is one water break and then the other, there's 2 minutes that were cut off of in between spots.
We cut the stretch in half. That was still very exciting. Like it was a big moment. And some of the bigger ones I remember were the day where we almost died doing stations and then 1060s. And then the next week, they saw the recovery data and they said, oh, we almost killed them. And they cut it back and we only did one set of six. And then, but they didn't tell anybody. They just did one set of six. And then they're like, all right, we're done.
Then and the so the second group's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Really? The second group saw him walk in and we know, hold on a second. That wasn't 12 reps out there. They only did one set of six. Holy shit, my body feels a whole lot better than it did before. I just figured that out. And the all-timer was when the day we walked in and they were giving us ice cream milkshakes. That was huge. That was big time.
Mm-hmm.
Such a heightened thing. For some reason, every little bit that they gave you back was just like, it was heaven. It was a slice of heaven. Yeah. I ain't got much more. That's good. That's good conversation. I got a few other things, but I want to continue to save some topics because I think we can always go off on tangents like this and talk about stuff. But there's a little camp talk for you. It doesn't give anybody listening PTSD, but Kevin, he's about to go crawl back into a hole because of the whole conversation we just had.
I will say this: camp got better as you got older.
Your mic's a little. You gotta fix it, Kev. Camp did get better as you got older, just like conditioning in the summer. Got better as we got older, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and half the thing that was so hard the first couple of years is just so much to learn. And imagine like you're studying for finals at the same time you're abusing your body and your brain. It's just mentally and physically exhausting. So learning a whole new system plus being subjugated to physical stresses you've never had to endure before. on top of just learning how things work, it's just a whole lot to throw at a human at once.
Now that you mention that, Kevin, the thought of Drake, or any fullback or line, anyone that hits people, like any player except for the quarterbacks or the DBs and receivers and the specialists, how, I don't know if we've set that up well for them to succeed, because you just said they're trying to go through the physical trauma of beating their heads into other humans. And then they're also trying to go through the brain procedure of learning new material and like maturing as a human and trying to like cram facts into from their classes into their brain. Like,
that's well, I'm not so much about classes, but like you basically are going to class like every time you're in meeting, like your freshman year, just like learning like completely new stuff.
Yeah.
Like just learning what it means to play defense, basically.
It's like, here, learn this formation, but we're going to put you at a disadvantage. We're going to run your head. We're gonna practice the formation.
So yeah, and I take exception that DBs are mentioned to that, okay? We did our fair share of headbutting, too.
I know you guys still hit each other. I know. Okay, I'll add you in there. You're not even a DB, Kevin. You're a linebacker, all right?
I spent 3 years as a DB, I think.
I don't consider you a DB at all.
Here's how camp went for me. 3 years being a backup and just running all of the extra twos, threes, and Devo reps. 1 year as going into camp as a starter, but also almost getting thrown off the team for arson. And then senior year having to be the fucking $1 million man that they put back together. I think we can fix him. And then
back it up. What?
Oh yeah, dude. You don't remember that?
Arson?
You don't remember the arson threat from me?
What?
Oh, we'll talk about this after the podcast.
We're going to have to maybe bring that one up on another podcast. I know that some of you out there listening as we wrap this up have – it's the summertime right now, and all these diva NFL players that we're trying to get on as our guests, they like to take vacations, and they go and they train with other people, and the wash-up walk-ons, they aren't important anymore because of who they are. And that's, and they're right, okay? We sit here. Kevin's wearing a chicken lip shirt. I'm about to go eat a breakfast burrito. Drake has a long day of jujitsu and golf ahead of him. We don't matter, but we're going to try and get these guys back on. We haven't had a string of guests recently. That's partially my fault, but also it's partially these people just don't respond to me. Tried to reach out to Drew Ott. I want to get Drew Ott on the podcast.
He didn't
fucking text me back, so we just suck. I got to start incentivizing it or paying for guests or something, whatever. I don't know, but we're going to try and get on some guests so that what?
The fuck's wrong with you, Drake?
What is going on? There's a text message that I haven't read that these two are looking at each other. I'm going to have to fucking deal with that after this. Thank you guys. Walk on Army again, patreon.com/washupwalkons. Until next time. Maybe we'll have an arson story from Drake. Who knows? Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.